פרק דל פסוק אלף. מרדכי ידע, מרדכי נו, יש כל אשר נעשה, everything which was done. ויקרא מרדכי his בגדיו, he ripped his clothes. ויהיה שק ועפר, he adorned himself, he clothed himself with sackcloth and ashes. ויצא בשכי, he went out in the middle of the city. ויזעק זעקה גדולה למרה. And he cried out an awesome bitter cry. Mordecai said, Mordecai, how did Mordecai know? There's a lot of things that he had to know. How did he know? He had a dream, and Hashem sent a messenger to Mordecai in a dream. And the Balach Aloyim, the master of the dreams, told Mordecai that this decree is not Achashverosh's decree. It's from the heavenly tribunal, from the Beis Hamikdash, that the Jews are to be punished because they bowed down to the idol 70 years previously in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, and because they are not from Achashverosh to Suda. I mean, if you think about it for a few moments, you'll see that the two Averis are related. They bowed down to the idol in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. It's wrong. It's wrong because the din is Yehovah Yavor. One is obligated to give up his life rather than bow down to Nebuchadnezzar. But if somebody doesn't give up his life and he bows down to Nebuchadnezzar, he's not Kaiv Misa. He did the wrong thing. The decree that entire people should be wiped out for such a thing is a bit extreme. There's mitigating circumstances. They're loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They just couldn't... They didn't pass the test. It's not easy to give up your life. They didn't pass the test. That's not grounds. That's not necessarily grounds for extermination. They said, listen, we're living in Babel. There's an Indian of Shalom Malchus. We were in danger of losing our lives. It's called mitigating circumstances. But then when they were 7 years later, they were invited to a Suda. And they went for the same reasons. They went for the same reasons that they bowed down to the idol in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. They went for Shalom Malchus. How could you not go? The king will get angry. We have to go. And on the surface, that's mutter. It's not permissible to bow down to an idol for Shalom Malchus, but to go to a mishta, to go to a suda that's made for the covet of the Malchus, on the surface, it's mutter. But they had hanah. That's being caught in a web of deceit. He keeps saying constantly, I'm a loyal servant of a Kaddish Baruch. I'm a loyal servant of a Kaddish Baruch. If I do anything wrong, it's only because of external circumstances, because of duress. My life is on the line. My health is on the line. So you believe to a point. So they bowed down. Shalom Malchus. They went to their Suda. Shalom Malchus. But they enjoyed it. It's called being schlugged up. It's called being schlugged up. The whole structure that they built just crumbled. You enjoyed yourself. Why do you have to enjoy yourself? So it's all one. It's one, it's one of error. It's one of error. So Rashi says they found out through a dream. The Targum has another version. Mordechai knew because Eliyahu, the Kohen Gadol. The Targum calls him Eliyahu the Kohen Gadol. He's referred to in literature as Eliyahu Anavi, Eliyahu Tishbi, and the Targum calls him Eliyahu Kohen Gadol. In this case, in this instance. Because Eliyahu the Kohen Gadol knew what was going on, so he came to tell... What? Well, he was Pinchas. He was a Kohen. Yeah, Pinchas. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen was the Kohen Gadol, Elazar was the Kohen Gadol, Pinchas, Kohen Gadol. And the Targum says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Eliyahu Kohen Gadol to Mordecai because the only thing that's going to help is Tefillah.
What?
Tefillah. Davening. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has his ways. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want to destroy the Jewish people. That's not the goal. The goal is to save the Jewish people. The decree that was extended over the Jewish people to destroy them was for the purpose of sustaining them. If somebody is running off a cliff and he's about to jump off and kill himself and you break his legs, you're doing him a favor. So Kadosh Baruch set it up. He set up the decree. And then he sends Eliyahu Navi to Mordecai to tell Mordecai that you better daven because the only thing that's going to help you is tefillah. That's the target.
The reason why Pinchas is because by King Rahul.
Why did Hashem send Eliyahu Navi Kohen Gadol?
Because is it possible by when he was in one of them? No, that was Kohen.
I mean, just the most obvious explanation why Pinchas Kohen Gadol was sent.
Why does he represent tefillah?
Well, the Kohen Gadol is the Amud Avayda. But it's Torah Avayda Gmilas Chasadim. So Torah is Moshe Rabbeinu. Avayda is Aaron. Kohen Gadol is the pillar of Tefillah. He's the pillar of Avayda. Avayda is Tefillah.
Then Aaron should go down.
Yeah, well, Aaron wasn't alive. Eliyahu's alive. But there's other, you know, we can go with this. We can take this and run with it. So, yeah. He went to him. He's the one that goes there. He's the pillar of Tefillah in the generation. He's the pillar of Avayda. He's the Kohen Gadol. He's the one that... Eliyahu, he's still alive now.
I'm saying, but in... Was he...
Yes, he's still alive now, the same way as he was then. Same when I was then. Eliyahu Navi's previous Gilgal was during the time of the first place, you know, first place of Middash.
When did he go up?
First place of Middash. Before the first place, so he went up.
When did the cherry come out?
How does Aaron represent Tefillah if he was more Gemilas Chasadim? Life Shalom, Barad Shalom, Life is a reason, covering Latera. It sounds
any Jew has all three midas.
It seemed like it was that seemed like that.
Yeah,
was
he did
his
have midas. He had a very stark midas of Chesed.
So that seemed like a trademark of recording.
Because Chesed and Avayda are related. Chesed and Avayda are related. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with Chesed. To create something with Chesed, Chesed means without any external forces or influences. For example, if you see a guy rolling in the dust, you pick him up, you wipe him off, and you give him a sandwich. That's not Chesed. Because you did it for you. There's something that caused you. There's a cause and effect relationship. There's something that caused you to do it. He's unfortunate. He's dirty. He's in the dust. So that brings that provokes or that promotes feelings of compassion and pity. So that's the cause. And then you give him something. That's the effect. That's not chesed. Chesed is you give because you give. And that's only possible. Pure chesed is only possible for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to perform. Human beings only have some kind of ulterior motive. You give a poor guy because you feel bad for him. You don't want to feel bad, so you give him money so he shouldn't feel bad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He created it from nothing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create the world because he had compassion on the world. How could you have compassion on something that's not here yet? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates something, that's pure chesed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need us. He has everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't give him anything. So he keeps giving us. It's pure chesed. Until the Beis HaMikdash was built, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us chesed through different vehicles, different conduits, different channels to give you chesed. Once we have a Beis HaMikdash, or the Mishkan, so the Kohen did the Avayda, And Hashem said, you do the Avodah, I'm going to bring Chesed. I'm going to give Chesed to the world. So the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash was, which causes HaKadosh Baruch Hu to shine His Chesed on the world. So the one, Aaron HaKohen, who is the Ish HaAvodah, he's the pillar of Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, so he also is the paradigm of Chesed. So they're related. Eliyahu Navi, besides being a Kohen Gadol, he was also Pinchas. What did Pinchas do? He had Zimri, the Nasi of Shevet Shimon. He committed an immoral act with Cosby, the princess of Midian. And tens of thousands of people in Klal Yisrael were also involved in this. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to exterminate them. He's going to destroy them. Klal Yisrael was in danger. At that time, Klal Yisrael was in great danger. The entire Klal Yisrael was going to be exterminated because of this chet of immorality and of Avodah Zarah. Pinchas killed Zimri and Cosby. He assassinated them. He executed them. And he brought peace and harmony to the Kodesh Baruch and his people. The same situation is repeating itself. Klal Yisrael is worshipping Avodah Zarah. Whether the Avodah Zarah is the idol in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, or the Avodah Zarah is the idolatry that they bow down to the government, you know, they're close to the government and they have hanah from the government. It's also a form of Avodah Zarah that's causing a Kodesh Baruch Hu to come to anger. And Eliyahu Kohen Gadol is the one that's sent to bring shalom between Klal Yisrael and the Maker through Tvila. Like you mentioned before, Eliyahu Navi became a Kohen Gadol by killing Zimri and Cosby. He wasn't a Kohen until then. He became a Kohen by killing them.
At what point did he step down from being Kohen Gadol?
Well, there's no Beis HaMikdash, so it's there's no Avodah for him to do.
No, I mean, when he was still Pinchas, he was Kohen Gadol, right?
In the Mishkan.
But then there were other Kohen Gadols after that, so
yeah,
when did he step down?
When he went up in a chariot of fire. So he didn't do the Avodah anymore.
There's no Kohen Gadol. There's different Kohen Gadols between Pinchas and Eliyahu.
Pinchas is Eliyahu.
Yeah, I know, but you said Pinchas was a Kohen Gadol. Eliyahu was a Kohen Gadol.
What?
That was a 100-year period. You find the Nach by Abiyasar, that he was a Kohen Gadol. He was in between Aaron and Kohen Gadol. Eliyahu came up.
Between Pinchas and Eliyahu.
What?
Between Pinchas and Eliyahu.
Yeah.
It's a good question. I don't know. That I definitely don't know. That I don't know. What do I know? Kohen Gadol refers to the person more than his job. You know, the Iker title of Kohen Gadol is he's the Kohen Gadol. He's the one that brings Shalom between Shemayim and Aretz, between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It refers to more of who he was rather than his position in the Beis HaMikdash. Here, right now, in our Purim story, he's acting as a Kohen Gadol. The Megillah Starim has a third version of how Mordechai knew what was going on. He knew what was going on through Ruach HaKadosh. It's a form of Nevuah. Ruach HaKadosh is a form of prophecy. The Gemara says that Mordechai himself was a Navi. According to one view in the Gemara, Mordechai was a Navi Malachi. So he got through Ruach HaKadosh. So we have three versions, three views. Through the Balach HaLoimos, that means through a dream, through Eliyahu Navi, or through Ruach HaKadosh. The Vilna Gaon says a fourth pshat. Vilna Gaon says the Pasha Pshat that there were officers that knew of the plan because Haman revealed the plan in its entirety to the officers. And there were some sympathetic officers among the Persian nobility. This is the Vilna Gaon. This is Pshat number four. And they told the truth. You know, they got the letter. They read it. Haman, you know, on the outside, they put out an external show of being Jew haters, which was the fashion in the times. But deep down, they sympathized with the Jews, and they tipped them off. The Megillah storm. Explains the reasoning, the understanding behind all these things. There's a normal protocol that's been followed throughout the generations when Klai Yisrael comes under, when Klai Yisrael comes into such a situation. It's called Ishtadlus. I mean, of course you daven, do tshuva, examine, you know, each one should examine their actions. But you do your shtadlus. You don't wait for things to fall down from heaven, you do your shtadlus. This time means finding the right connections in the palace, paying people off, seeing some, you know, if somebody knows somebody somewhere, somebody's brother-in-law knows someone, maybe running away, and many, many more things. That's in a normal situation.
Is it possible Esther knew what was going on?
Mordecai told Esther. She did not know. She didn't know. The only one that knew at this time was Mordecai.
But didn't it say before that they sent out the, all the letters?
Yeah, the letters for the public said, be ready. Prepared.
That's all it said?
Yeah.
How did they understand what it meant?
They didn't. They could just guess. But the Megillah Esther said the purpose of this revelation, this heavenly revelation to Mordecai, either Hashem sent a special shliach, the master of the dreams, or Eliyahu Navi, or Ruach HaKodesh, whatever the shliach was to tip Mordecai off. But there's no way out. The door is closed. The trap has been sprung. There's no way out. This is very important for Klai Yisrael to understand. There's no way out. There's, you know, there's nothing they could do. They shouldn't waste their time, their energy, their emotions, and anything within the natural world. It's not going to work. Mordecai was, instead of them finding out in a natural way, they could have found out in a natural way. Instead of finding out in a natural way, they found out in a way which was lamala midrach hateva, to tip them off, to give them insight to what's going on. That there's nothing they could do. Don't go there. There's nothing they could do. Tefillah. Because tefillah always works.
Nothing you can do except for tefillah.
Nothing to do except for tefillah. And that's the only thing that works. That works out very nicely. But the only thing you could do is the only thing that works. It makes a nice neat package in the end.
So normally we view ain't samchen al anes, and here it's samich al anes.
Tefillah, I don't know. Tefillah's not nice.
You're being samich al anes because there's nothing
else. It has to happen.
Tefillah's not nice. Mordecai ripped his begadim. We learned about this when we learned Sefer Yena. He ripped his begadim. Because ripping one's begadim is a sign of mourning. One does not rip his begadim when a close relative is ill or sick or at the gates of death. The begadim are ripped, the clothing is ripped when? After death. He ripped his begadim in a show of mourning because Klai Yisrael is dead. They are dead. And Klai Yisrael saw this. Well, you want to take a short break now? Well, the food is busy. Let's just finish the pasuk. Mordecai cried It was awesome, it was great. Gedalia means it was great, it was powerful. Umara was bitter. The Vilna Gaon says that this is referring to two different elements of his cry. Gedalia, awesome! That's because the tzara, the troubles that they find themselves in, is a magnificent proportions. It's great. It's awesome. Umara, bitterness, it was bitterness because Mordechai blamed himself. He blamed himself. He thought, perhaps, had he bowed down to Haman, had he not incited Haman, then this whole thing wouldn't have happened. So he felt a bitterness. He felt a personal responsibility for this, and that filled him with bitterness. Two different emotions. The awesomeness of the troubles, and the bitterness of being responsible for it. Bitter.
Mara Gedalia or Mara?
No, Gedalia is the great the huge proportions of the tzara, and Mara is the bitterness over being responsible for it. The Yalkut Shemaini, the Medrash, says by Yitzhak, Mordechai cried out. You find the same expression by Esav. When Yaakov tricked Esav, and Yaakov received the bracha at the hands of Yitzchak, Esav came back, and the Pasuk says, "Vayizak za'aka gedailu mara." Esav cried, "Azaka gedailu," an awesome cry, "umara," and a bitter cry. The Medrash says, it was that cry of Esav that he was unjustly hoodwinked out of what was coming to him. And it pained him so much. The bracha of Yitzchak, it's a schus, that he felt the pain at the loss of the bracha of Yitzchak. That's a meritorious thing. You know, someone that's totally wicked, the pain he lost out on a bracha from Yitzchak, of a tzaddik, or his father. So that gave Esav a schus. And Yitzchak gave Esav not the primary bracha, but the secondary bracha. So Yaakov is going to be your master, and you're going to be your slave. But if Yaakov is not acting as Yaakov, you're going to be able to throw his yoke off from you. This was fulfilled in the times of Haman. Yaakov was not Yaakov. Yaakov, it says a kol Yaakov. Yaakov wasn't crying out. If it's not kol Yaakov, then it's Yadami to Esav. Esav has power. So Esav's cry bore fruits, and it caused Mordechai to cry. But the Maisa, Esav cried. He cried. But there's levels in crying. You could cry when you lose $50. A guy could cry when he loses $1 million. A guy could cry if he loses a relative. A guy could cry. There's depth to crying. How do we counteract Esav's crying? What's the secret? How do you counteract Esav's crying? That's if our cries are more sincere. And not just that we could cry because we're going to get killed out. That's not going to do it. You're going to get killed out, you know. Are you sorry you did it? Yeah, I'm sorry. Because I'm sorry I got caught. You're sorry you went through the stop sign, yeah. I'm sorry I got caught. But if we cry, and our cry is on a different level. Esav cried because he lost the bracha. But if we cry, and our cry is not a cry because we're getting wiped out. Our cry is because we feel the pain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he has to wipe us out. Our cry is because we feel unworthy. We recognize we're unworthy. And then because we're crying because we realize we destroyed ourselves. That's a cry on a much deeper level. So that's how you defeat Esav's cry. And the Rekeach says that the gematria of Zo'aka, Zion Ayin Kuf Hei, is 185. And that's the same gematria as Yaakov. It's the same gematria as Yaakov. Ze'aka. Zion, I am covered.
Moshe's cry was not just counteracting to keep up with Jesus' cry.
No, it was come from a much deeper, source.
And this was the cry that would give us
strength
back to Jesus.
This is the cry that, you know, he was being ma'ir of the Jews, that they should... It's not enough that Mordechai should cry.
Wait,
he was trying to be ma'ir of them, that they should cry.
It's not just Jesus' cry payback, it's more.
Right. It has to be.
But our cry is greater than Esau's because our cry is more.
Deeper. Deeper and more sincere.
How's it more sincere again? I'm sorry, like, because we want it.
It's more. Why? Because we're not just crying because we're going
to
get killed. That's an Esau cry. That's an obvious cry. That's a cry on the surface. We're crying because we're distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We cry because we realize that we dug ourselves into a hole. We cry because of the Hester upon him. We cry because we're causing Hashem pain. We're crying because we're not what he wants us to be. We're not crying for our own personal fortunes. We're crying because our purpose in life is to give nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not giving him nachas. That's a cry on a much deeper level. Esav is crying for what he lost. And we cry for what we make what we cause to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the only way it's going to be. That's the only way it's going to work. We'll take a short break here.